He said, how will I do this? There was a church that called him, small little church. He got there. God said, I'll provide. He got there to find out it was financially in trouble. He was there a couple of months. It started doing really good. Another church came to him that was in trouble, and they wanted to merge the two churches. They merged the two churches, and immediately the board of the primary church that he had been called to turned him in and his wife in for child abuse. They rose up against him. This was terrible. A leader of the church that had joined him, whom he really didn't know, a guy by the name of Doug Kessler, who, by the way, became a bishop in the CEC, came to him and said, this is really bad. Here's what we want to do. Let them take everything. You come and preach on Sundays. You go take care of your family. We will run the church, what's left. We will pay you for 1 year. Now, I got news for you. In Pentecostal churches, you don't do this. Randy had to protect his wife and his family. So for 1 year, Doug Kessler ran the church. Randy came every Sunday and preached. At the end of the year, he came in. The books were given to him. They were perfect. He and Doug Kessler became best of friends. The church grew in that time. The other church failed. The charges were set aside because they saw that it was bogus. God protected him. What I'm trying to say is, in all of this time, the devil tried to just rob, kill, and steal. This is the beginning. This was an independent, charismatic church. This wasn't the CEC. This was an independent, charismatic church that Randy had not yet started his mission into the CEC. The devil tried to defeat everything. God knew that Randy was called to a greater thing. During this year, he did a lot of studying. As I said, it's dangerous to let people think. He began studying the Old Testament, and he saw the liturgy. He went to the Episcopal Church of the USA and found it too liberal. He went to the Roman Church and found you couldn't be married. He went to the Orthodox Church. He went to several churches and found no home for himself in Orthodoxy. And that's where we began the CEC. And he said, if in my lifetime, if I can find 10 like-minded people, then I will have considered myself to be worthy. At one point, we were the fastest growing in church in America. We're not the fastest. We only got about 80 churches in America right now. But we're in Uganda, southern Sudan, Congo, northern Congo, southern Libya, Nigeria, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Brazil, Philippines, 18 areas in Europe. Someone asked me one day, is there any future? And throughout non-America, we're growing like crazy. But it began with a man who had a vision. If I can have 10 churches, God, I will consider myself fortunate. It started with a man who was flying through the air, and God said, I'm not finished with you. Now, there were some problems After the church was growing like crazy, Randy lost a daughter and two grandchildren. He also fell and got seriously injured his back and got addicted to pain medication. He was not a business person. And he had to retire. And for the last 3.5 years, he's lived in a little one-room apartment beside the pool in Bishop Chuck Jones's house in Selma. His wife died 6 months ago. For 3.5 years, he hasn't spoken. We were privileged that he spoke at convocation. And he spoke, and I don't even remember the two other points, but his first point was, prayer changes things. And it spoke to me. It spoke to me, and it renewed my hope. But the prophecy that was given to him is that the latter things in his life will be greater than the former. And he was renewed. And he will be used again. He'll be used prophetically. And I think we're going to hear many, many things. I hope one day to have him here. I remember 21 years ago meeting with him out at a restaurant at the beach. And I was impressed with him. Prophetically, he just saw things. But he had to forgive a lot of people. He was forced into retirement. I don't know that the House of Bishops really handled it appropriately. But he and our current patriarch have really, they're best friends now. A couple of months ago, they met in Selma, and Randy laid hands on our present bishop and blessed him. And I'm reminded of the words of Corrie Ten Boom, and this is the lesson for us and as a country and for us as a CEC and for us as a church. Corrie Ten Boom once commented that she had learned to hold things of this world loosely in her hands because she knew that if she grasped them too tightly, that the Lord would have to pry her fingers away and it would hurt. My question to all of us today, is there anything in your life, in our lives, that you're trying to withhold from God? Is there anything that is going to hurt if God has to pry them out of your hands? You don't have any trouble sacrificing that which is not important to us away. The thing about Abraham, he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, because he knew God's promises that Isaac was the heir. If he sacrificed Isaac, God would have to bring Isaac back. He understood the promises of God. We've got to understand the promises of God in our life. We got to hold the promises of God more important than the things in our hand. To some of us, money is the first place in our life. Don't hold it too tight. The story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19 comes to us as an instructive point. The young man came to Jesus and asked, what must he do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him to go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. The point was not the money. But Jesus knew that the money was the first place in his life. God is not interested in our money, but he's very interested in our heart. When Abraham was willing to give to God that which was the most important thing in his life, which was Isaac, God gave it back to him. For some of us, the most important thing in our life is our family. For others, it's our career and our dreams of the future. If you're afraid to trust God with your possessions, your dreams, or someone in your life, then you need to take a look at Abraham's life. Because Abraham was willing to give up everything to God, he received back far more than he could ever imagine. We need to be able to give to God everything. Randy Adler said to me that he wasn't willing to give God some stuff. And it cost him. He lost everything, guys. He had a beautiful home, $1.5 million home in California. He lost it. He had beautiful antiques. He lost them all. He said to me in Orlando, God is the most important thing in my life. And I never, ever understood that. And he looked at the prophecy that was given to him in writing, and he said, he's willing to use me again. It's worth it all. He's willing to use me again. It's worth it all. I want to tell you, this last couple of weeks has brought me to the point of realizing it's worth it all. Whatever's left, it's worth it all. If God is willing to use us, it doesn't matter. It's not worth holding anything back. It's worth it all. Jan and I have been really privileged to have some of our adoptive daughters, as y'all know. One's here today. One was here a couple of weeks ago. And it's been a treasure to have them, grown up women, speak into our lives and tell us what we meant to them 10 years, 15 years ago. This one we haven't seen until, hadn't seen for 6 years, until what, 2 months ago? A month ago when we went out to visit you. I'm talking about Red here, Monica. She loves to be called Carrot Top, by the way. You can't hit me. Anyway. Guys, this is a celebration day. This is a day where we're getting ready to celebrate. God hasn't brought us this far to drop us. Amen. Some of us are concerned by being so few in number. God's weeded, God's going to plant. Your rector's council, next week we're going to hand out a survey for everybody in the church to fill out because of things we're working on. That you're going to have some input on. Things are coming about that we'll be explaining over the next week or two. But there is a future and a hope. God is speaking. I'm going to invite y'all to start joining us at 9:30. 11, huh? 9:30. I just know we start here and pray and we stop when we stop. 9:30 for prayer. Roger's here visiting with us today, son that came home. He hasn't learned yet. He's supposed to find another job and come back. But anyway, we're glad to have him back. Everybody hug him and make him feel really guilty.
You're way ahead of you.
All right. Please stand to your feet.